KNOM News Headlines. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 9:02. After a week of conservation and dirty pipes, Emonic will once again have clear running water, but residents are still advised not to drink it. Last Saturday, as fall storms battered western Alaska, a surge rushed water and ice up the Yukon River, tearing off Emonic's water intake pipe and floating it 200 feet away. Ice quickly formed over the river, thin and jagged, creating a freeze too weak to walk on, but too ragged for boats to cut through. Workers retrieved the pipe, but the combination of ice and rough weather forced the crew to insert the line in a shallow portion of the river. Megan Prince, Emonic Village police officer, says for the past week, brown, silty water has dripped from faucets as the intake channel sucked up sediment and trickles of liquid.
From the phone calls I received, is brown water, orange water, rusty pieces of water inside the container they poured in.
Martin Moore Sr., Emonic City Manager, says the city issued a local emergency instructing residents to conserve water, to only use it for cooking. No washing clothes, no showers, and only flushing toilets after several uses. And the water for cooking meant boiling, not drinking. Mary Waska, Emonic Tribal Council Secretary, says consuming the municipal water leads to abdominal pain. Citizens are having to purchase or filter their water.
We were getting stomach aches from the water. We use it for washing, like doing daily dishes, and we're not drinking it.
Anticipating a storm, Moore says Emonic had stored almost 400,000 gallons of water, but by Thursday that reserve was down to a day and a half supply. To extend the reservoir, the school shut down at 1 p.m. yesterday, sending students home early. The doors would have stayed closed indefinitely, but late last night a crew working in near-zero temperatures was finally able to move the intake pipe to a greater depth in the river. Water is flushing through the pipes now, clearing out dirt and debris and thawing sections that have begun to freeze. Today, Moore says, a team will collect water samples from three locations around the city and then ship the specimens priority to the Department of Environmental Conservation for testing. Once the DEC declares the water potable, the city will notify residents the water is safe to drink. Team Rubicon, the disaster relief NGO made up of retired military personnel, plan to head to Kotlik today. Jeremy Zedek is the public information officer with the Alaska Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and he says weather and personnel requirements are keeping the team on the ground, but the group will head to Kotlik to aid their relief effort once these issues are resolved.
Team Rubicon is a volunteer organization made up of mostly ex-military members. There's 12 members, some from Alaska and some from Lower 48, that are going to be heading out to Kotlik, if the weather allows, to help the community with their cleanup efforts, mucking out homes, doing minor repairs, and restoring access to different parts of the community that are blocked by ice.
The Rubicon group will be staying at a church in Kotlik, preparations for which were done by the Red Cross volunteers who had been on the ground for almost 2 weeks. The state of Alaska relies on Red Cross personnel to do much of the immediate assistance and relief work following disasters. Laura Spano is the communications manager for the Red Cross in Alaska and says the organization coordinates with government officials during natural disasters.
Well, we definitely work closely with our state, local government officials. During any time of disaster, we want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we can use each other's resources to do what's best for the people that have been affected. We were the first, in Kotlik and able to be on the ground and offering that assistance, but we have been side by side with the state through it.
Two people were initially dispatched to Kotlik by the Red Cross and two more to Stebbins. They worked on damage assessment, casework, and support services, as well as bringing in water and supplies from across the state. Spano says the Red Cross also sent a crisis counselor to Stebbins.
And then now we're actually sending a disaster mental health worker out to Stebbins, both for the people that are affected by disaster and our staff that's out there. So to really be able to work with people and make sure that the wellness is, that everybody's safe. And we did hear some reports coming back that, maybe that it was a good idea to get someone mobilized quickly and sent out to Stebbins. So that is what we did.
The relief effort in western Alaska has involved multiple state agencies using different timetables. In Kotlik and Stebbins, the Red Cross has been the first responder, while the state makes longer-term plans for helping the communities recover what was lost in the storms. Zedek says the Department of Homeland Security is currently setting up a phone line for residents in disaster-affected zones to call for help navigating state resources.
We will have the online registration and the hotline activated the week of December 2nd. We would ask that people be patient until that time. We want to make sure that we have people on the other end of the line when they call that hotline to answer their questions and to handle the volume of calls that are coming in.
Zedek says that once the hotline and website are set up, the state will work with local media and officials to get the numbers and websites to residents. The legal fight over Alaska's redistricting plan may be nearing an end. Jason Gazewood, an attorney for Fairbanks area plaintiffs George Riley and Ronald Dearborn, says they do not plan to appeal a decision approving the latest map. A spokesman says Alaska's Democratic Party also does not plan to appeal. Gazewood says those who filed friend of court briefs may be have standing to appeal, but he didn't think so. On Monday, Superior Court Judge Michael McConaughey ruled the plan met constitutional challenges. The decision was the latest in a dispute that dates to 2011 and has involved several proposed iterations for Alaska's political boundaries. The Alaska Supreme Court allowed an interim map to be used for last year's elections, but in December ordered the redistricting board to redraw the map. With maps more firmed up, a couple of political challengers have submitted paperwork to the Division of Elections. Harry Crawford, a former state legislator from Anchorage, filed a letter of intent on Wednesday but says he is still deciding whether to run for House or Senate. On Thursday, Mat-Su Borough Assemblyman Jim Culver announced that he plans to run against Representative Eric Figg in the Republican primary for their district. And if you were to visit the Nome Rec Center on Saturdays, you would see adults and children dancing, singing, twirling scarves, and playing instruments. They are participating in Zumbini, a music and movement class for caregivers and children ages 0 to 3. The sessions merge the science of child development with the movement of Zumba, the cardio dance craze that emerged in 2001 and has since spread worldwide to 185 countries. Audra Hull, a certified Zumba fitness and Zumbini instructor, teaches the classes. Hull wanted to offer caregivers something to do during the day with their baby. Hull, being a stay-at-home mom to an 11-month-old herself, says she knows the challenges caregivers face finding outlets in Nome.
Being a stay-at-home mom here in Nome, I know how hard it is to be able to find something to do during the day. And so when I saw this training, I jumped at the chance that way that we could benefit moms and other parents and individuals that have a child, that also that way at the same time it benefits the baby.
Benefits include exploration, experimentation, bonding between child and caregiver, and a bit of fitness with all that moving around.
I just love watching the kids explore and experiment with the world around them. And I think that sometimes we as adults forget that excitement that they have. And this is a great place that provides different aspects for them to explore. And it really helps them learn and to grow.
Zumbini launched nationwide this September. Many of the country's largest cities do not yet offer these classes, so the fact that Nome has Zumbini makes the town a pioneer in the movement.
San Antonio doesn't have a Zumbini class. Houston, Dallas, Las Vegas, I don't think Boise has one. Seattle has one class. That's it.
Zumbini occurs on Saturdays at the Nome Rec Center. Sessions run for 8 weeks. The next round of classes will begin in January. To register, contact the Nome Rec Center. And a look at the price of gold in New York at this hour. Gold is down 12 cents an ounce to $1,244.90 an ounce. Silver is down 12 cents an ounce to $19.97 an ounce. Zinc is at 85 cents a pound. It is unofficially 14 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.